Okay, so welcome to A Course in Miracles. So we better hurry up and get our enlightenment game on here, because the world is changing so fast. And you're changing so fast, your life. And you have this invitation in front of you. This A Course in Miracles is already in your life. How far? How fast? The only reason why there's any barrier is you have this long-lived belief that's holding you back from being, meaning living as God created you. You've made a substitute. You've been living as, turns out, you made you. Been very busy filling out a character. It's really cool, but you've been very busy filling out this character that looks like your body, that doesn't know everything, wants some things, and does not want other things. How different is that from an abstract creator that is an extension of everything, full access to everything? How different is that? Not a sin, not a mistake. You will not throw this away. Your achievements with your mind, where you've been developing personality, perspective, found things that you really love here in this body in time and space. None of this you need to throw away. There's lots of loving thoughts there. Even the genesis of creation, the reflection of actual creation, is in some of what you've been doing. But you've gone a bit far, see, in order to experience this fantastic adventure into separation. You've been called to return. And not just by the internal good. Not eternal good did not actually call you to return. The eternal good in you is calling you to return by its presence, not by any action or decision or requirement whatsoever. You may continue in separation and with an ego and a body and as long as you like. You made time too. Fantastic. Wow, what an adventure. Time. What an adventure. What a fantastic invention, this time thing, where you're so drunk on it. You're so drunk on this time adventure that you no longer question it or work on it at all. It's completely accepted into your living. Course in Miracles, as you have noticed, is calling out time by name. Very metaphysical, isn't it? It talks about time the way it talks about time so many ways. It is. It's one of the tools or awakening vectors of A Course in Miracles is awakening from the drunkenness on time, I call it. Tonight, Tonight we're going to look into time a little bit and see some of these juicy passages where Jesus calls out patience. Patience as an attribute of a teacher of God, one of our 10. And, you know, I've said these, this is what I feel about it. I haven't seen this anyplace else, and Ken never said it, but I really think this is true, that these 10, this list of 10 things in your manual for teachers we're going through, these are descriptions of love, of lovingness. Trust. That's part of love. Honest. Yeah. Gentleness. That'd be loving. Yeah. Joy. God, I hope so. Absolutely. I mean, it has to be. Defenselessness. Is that loving? Automatically. Tolerance. With exuberance. Tolerance is part of being loving. Generosity. Patience. Tonight's patience. I love you. I don't want you to feel rushed. I don't want to put restraints on you. I want to help. Actually, if it's taking you more time to do something than expected, I'm interested. Not rejecting. If I'm loving, because I'm sharing the experience with you. It's not just you. I'm not waiting for you. I'm doing it with you. Even though you're doing all the work. Whatever this thing is. Patience is a very interesting concept because without patience, then you want to save time. You're losing something, you feel. This is why you're in such a hurry. So, instantly and automatically, when you really feel like you're extending love and being loving, patience is like a first. It's second nature, right? It's like immediate. Yes, Ross.
So wouldn't a lot of those be based on having an object and a subject?
Yes, actually, all of them are.
So, I mean, I was thinking about it, and, you know, obviously what the course is doing, well, I don't know if it's obvious, but what it's doing is it's saying, well, let's change your nightmare into a gentle dream of forgiveness. So what you're saying to me is saying, okay, so he's putting these attributes as a teacher of God on his way, on his or her way to oneness. In this gentle dream of forgiveness, we want to be, we want to have all these attributes. And that's
you derailed a little bit there because you're not actually on your way to oneness. You're as if it was a journey. You are already, oneness is.
Right.
Part of your mind is invested in duality, in two-ness, but initially, the whole idea of multiplicity, let me use a general word, I'm gonna punctuate what I'm saying with the word separation as usual, but I'm not there yet, Ross. The extension is occurring in oneness. Does not mean your end game. Well, I should just speak for me. My end game is not to return into a white blob of amorphous energy and disappear I've come around to that. I used to think that actually that, oh my, I just want to get back. I just want to be, go back to being the brick in God's wall, you know, nameless, faceless, holding everything up. I used to think that. But now, I mean, it's all over the book. You're so important. You are so important. And I've had some spiritual awakenings along the way to what I call individuality as opposed to separation. Separation is disconnected, pinched off. You're on your own. This is what is not true. And that is the part of the dream that needs correcting. It's sick, actually. It's impossible. It goes nowhere. It's counterproductive, so forth. Your individuality, though, is an extension, like a tree has many leaves. You're one of the leaves, Ross, of one tree. You know, the one tree. And you're going to awaken to the nature of a leaf not being everything. You're going to awaken to your true nature being of the tree.
Yeah. One of the ways I conceptualize it, you know, I'm sure it's not the complete picture, is that as I wake up, I'll realize that everybody else is already there.
Yeah. And it won't even be
all there already. And it's just a matter of waking up to that. That we all are already there.
Yes, that's one way to look at it. Yeah. That would have to include everybody, including those who don't want to be awoken.
Right. They are ready. It came to me that once you awaken, and it's a permanent thing, that you'll realize that everybody's already there with you.
Yes, that everybody is perfectly connected, even those who are deeply in the dream, pursuing separation.
Yeah.
Okay, you would no longer believe separation.
Right.
And then you could see through even the dream of separation. See?
Right.
This is what Jesus is. Jesus knows that we believe in separation.
Right.
And yet he does not believe in it at all. He just knows of it. And A Course in Miracles is its attempt to bridge the separate rehearsing pieces of mind with a unified piece of mind, reunified, I should call. Jesus is a reunified piece of mind, now representing only the Holy Spirit. A Course in Miracles is this bridge so that we can recover our happiness.
Right.
If you wish, you could continue on that vector of awakening where your life, the world, the physical universe becomes quite, you see it for the limit that it has, and you step out of it with your consciousness. The Course says most people do. But
step out of.
Yeah, you would not return to the world or the universe, this
the world of form.
The world of form.
Yeah.
Yes, the world of form. It's so, so limiting.
Right.
So he said, but you may. He says, there's not much reason, you know, so you'd really have to have some fascination with it.
And in that case, you could want those attributes again to deal with that world.
Oh, you would look at these 10 attributes and say, wow! Imagine a day when you're completely, I mean, you live as a human being, as a being, among other beings, but you manage your life with complete trust in the bigger picture.
Kind of like how Jesus was described as living 2,000 years ago.
Yes, Ross. And it was magnetic and interesting. And it was self-empowering to the being of Jesus. And other people who saw, they could borrow his faith just by being around his complete resoluteness. And he said, "It is your faith that healed you," said Jesus. "I didn't do a thing." Ramana Maharshi is said to have that effect. People would go into his presence and he wouldn't say a thing, but they come out glowing and with their mind clear. Emily, what do you got? Hey, I'll get your mute. Okay, go for it.
It's just so great. Thank you. And I wanted to say, so if I'm experiencing these traits of, you know, kindness, you know, all these love traits,
yep,
and then I meet up with someone who has separation as their ego goal,
yes, know,
that's their identity, it's okay. I'm not in any way separate with them. And then their possibility of being connected is greater because I'm not affected by their separateness. Is that?
That is correct. Your unity becomes contagious in that moment. Even though they are busy with separations, so somehow they're worried about something and you're not. You're active, you're alive, you're present, you're there. Your peace will be contagious. And it will be calming, a calming influence. Indeed. And then the other side of the coin is true too. So that's beautiful what you said. And I personally had that experience quite a bit. It happens. Now, the other side of the coin is true too, meaning that when you have unity mindedness or you have Christ vision going, Christ mindedness, and you come upon others who are also Christ minded, that's the other side of the coin. There is a quick little connection, an invisible connection that happens. It's written for you in a couple sentences in lesson 155.
Let's read that. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go there because I just loved reading that. Go to workbook. Going to be way up in the 200s. Workbook 280. 291. Workbook, page 291. This is lesson 155. It'll be fun to spend a night on that one night. That's coming in about maybe a decade or two. But who knows? Kenny, are you reading tonight?
No, thank you.
All right. Okay, now, Luann, I got your mute. When you get there, would you read for us paragraph 1 on lesson 291?
I thought I was going by pages. Lessons 291 is way further away.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said page 291. You caught me there.
Okay.
And in the workbook.
Yeah. What's the name of number of the lesson?
155.
Right. Right between 107 and 190 where I was. 155.
So this is when you've already done some awakening work.
Okay.
And your heart is kind of has a little bit of this light all the time. All the time. This has probably happened to everybody here. You can't go back. When the light has come, the light has come into your consciousness, your true being is all light, but you become unconscious of the light in your effort to be separate. So when the light has come into your consciousness, which means you can now picture, see, live, reflect in this dream into this state with light. Which is, I love how Ross said this is what, but Jesus was glowing with this light of understanding and clarity and love. And it's like, yeah, exactly like that. So Luann, please, paragraph one.
All right. Let me make sure where that I'm in the right place. What, say that, listen, what?
155.
Well, thank goodness. Okay. I will step back and let him lead the way. I want to say that again. I will step back and let him lead the way. There is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene. Your eyes are quiet. And the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own. Yet, those who have not yet perceived the way will recognize you also.
Egomaniacs, right? People stuck in separation, just as Emily was saying. They kind of see something there, right? They're not completely blind to it. They kind of feel, see, understand, recognize a piece. Yeah, go ahead.
Yet those who have not perceived the way will recognize you also and believe that you are like them as you were before.
But they'll think that your heart's actually full of hatred and that's where you're going to go.
Lovely.
They will see themselves in you. They're egomaniacs, they're fearful, guilt-ridden, etc. They'll still recognize peacefulness. But they'll also recognize you as another dirty slob just like them.
You are going to get to back to what you said, which I just loved, because, let me read it.
Yep, we're going to go back to patience.
Patience, yes, but what you said was individuation versus separation.
Yes.
And I love that so much, because individuation we keep, even though we're a leaf on a tree, no leaves are exactly the same.
You got it. No mistake. One tree has many leaves. One tree. And the tree in its really key word, existence, okay, that's where being comes in. So the tree in its existence requires the leaves. The leaves, of course, require the tree. The tree seems to have come first, right? The trunk and the branches. But without leaves, the life or the existence or the being, the living is the word, does not occur. One tree. Jacqueline. Whoop, hang on a second. I got your mute now. Go for it.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. One thing, first, when you first started talking, one thing came up with me all of a sudden. I realized, okay, there's this, some sentence that says, you give up nothing for everything, right?
Yes.
That's part of the sentence. And all of a sudden I thought, and I always thought, well, that's kind of a good thing to know. But then I thought, well, what is everything, right? I mean, there's no things. There's not any everythings. I mean, so there was that sense of the disappearance, right? But I want to understand, this is just your own and meditation and whatever that you've come to, that our individualization is still remains once we are one again. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Your but thoughts of love, your loving thoughts are kept forever for you, safe by the Holy Spirit, because they are extensions also of love. And I have to correct what you said to be precise. You said that, and I know what you meant, okay, but I'm just going to play with the words a little bit.
Yeah.
You say there are no things. That's half true, you know, because there are no things of form that are created. But there are, Jacqueline, infinite things of form affordable. Infinite. When you get into this abstract mind of eternity and infinity, there's no limit placed on you whatsoever. And guess what? You know how to make dogs. You love dogs, at least one. There's lots of things you've kind of had fancied along, right? This is in a huge limited state, but there's no reason whatsoever that the extension of God can't continue to play with making trees, dogs, flowers, sunsets, sunrises, dolphins who jump over each other, appearing to play. What's it? There's no sin, folks. There's not even sin in going awry where part one character in your dream pulls out a knife or a gun and kills another character in your dream. We can talk about later, and we will, because inevitably somebody's going to be killed. There's going to be another mass murder. There's going to be a death. You know, in the Course in Miracles meetings, we eventually we go into these areas, and the teaching holds up. It's just wonderful. I won't go into examples now because it'll derail the whole meeting, but we've had some pretty juicy ones, gripping stuff where, but the point is, the bottom line is that there is no limit to your mind, Jacqueline. There's no limit to your mind, and then there's no limit to your mind. That's how you're able to get this deep into the rabbit hole that we call Jacqueline. And you can get deeper. Nothing is stopping you. Did you notice? There is nothing stopping you from going further into your ego. And if for somehow God was requiring you, God, the superpower authoritarian, was requiring you to awaken, you would awaken. And you would do it correctly. Doesn't exist, does it? Not at all. In fact, the journey home is the journey. You are taking a return to love journey. And with every possible opportunity, if you choose light versus dark, that's the only thing, up versus down, however you want to say it, it becomes a more and more wonderful journey. Why? Because every step includes more love. Each increment, if you're choosing light, if you're choosing light, if you're choosing love, then as you awaken, as you grow, as you return, each step includes more love, more light. It's a wonderful experience. I keep using the mathematical example because I had some awakenings around this, so forgive me, I won't keep. But anyway, what happens in math is you start out with a huge complex of difficult things that somebody else has already figured out and you don't understand. But as you start to work in mathematics, maybe same with learning how to play the piano, but your advancements you start to move and get more familiar with your study. And you're able to accomplish things you couldn't do before. It gets rather wonderful and simpler as you go along. This is what you're doing with love. You are returning to love. And as we learned in chapter, I think it was 12, there's this love is starting to return into your awareness now like a forgotten song. Your favorite song ever. You forgot all the words. Just a little bit of the melody is coming back to you, but immediately it touches your heart because as a child or whatever, it was your favorite song. You know how music can move you? And so I just wanted to catch you and take advantage of those words that there are no things. That's only half true. And there are no things in creation. There are no things that are of God. But there is no limit to the things that you can play with. Because this is the extension of creation that is able now to dream. To dream up bodies. Real bodies. They're not true, but they are real. You see the difference. You must see the difference. You will see the difference if you don't already. Big reconciliation. You're going to need a miracle. You're going to need a miracle. That's what we're in the business doing here. Okay. Keep asking those questions. They're very good. It's very pertinent. And everybody has them.
So I think it's very confusing in a way to say they are real, but they're not true. And the only way I can say that is, if I'm an extension of God, I can do what God does. Is that pretty true?
If you're an extension of God, you can do what God does. That is correct.
Okay.
You are God doing it, even.
Okay, thank you. That makes sense to me. So that means when I create a dog that I want to play with, let's say, assuming I'm this is an extension of God, I'm having fun, and I recognize that everybody else can do the same thing if they wanted to. They can have this kind of fun and love that dog like I do. See, the only thing I know that I really think is that we all have one mind.
There you go.
And with one mind, then if I'm creating a dog, everybody can enjoy that dog. They can
there you go.
So as an extension of God, the dog is not real, but it is also true that I can create one.
And in order for you to appreciate the dog, you would also have to create, okay, we'll use your word create here, a way to perceive the dog.
Okay, yes.
Okay, when you perceive, perception is a manifestation of mind post-separation.
After separation.
Yes, but the separation is not a sin.
Okay,
Luann, separation is fine. It's just not true. But it's fine. If you want to take an adventure with separate ideas, you can do it all day long. Tell the story. I mean, I don't like horror films, but some people love them, and they do it all day. They make horror films. They watch them. They make them. They store them. They write them. They love it. They love it. They love it. It scratches an itch. I don't know what it is. Same with like a heavy metal music. It's like the really, really, really heavy, dark stuff.
I know.
It's a constant screaming going on, but it kind of, because the guitar is screaming also, and the drums are screaming, and everybody's screaming. And they love it. They just can't. It just works for those people who love that music.
Well, that makes
sense. That's not a sin.
That makes me feel better because most of my family love horrible movies. I mean,
really, see, now when you, as you wake up, you will love them loving the movies. You won't necessarily love the movies yourself.
Right.
But you will love them loving the movies.
Okay, I'm glad they have something to love. In other words, I'm loving that they have something to love.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you will know that you're, that the one mind, vicariously, is loving those movies. Loving living, okay? Living is such an interesting thing. Life is such an interesting thing. Life is invisible. Life is eternal. There is no death. Life is. Life is, ready for this? A gift of God.
And don't you think God is giving the gift of life so that God can, I mean, we're essential to God.
We're so essential to God that God can't even smile without you.
Right. Because.
No mouth, right?
Right. We're the mouth and the eyes that smile that God is.
God does not perceive. He has nothing to perceive with except for you.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You are essential to the extension of God for all sorts of reasons and ones you can't possibly understand from this small perspective.
But anyway, that's why I like the word of individuation instead of separation, because it feels to me like every time I say something, it's not true. And not even real, or not going to get me where I want to go, you turn it into a love station, a statement.
Yes.
And that's what I want to be able to. I want to see the love behind everything that anyone else is doing
That a girl.
Because if I can do that, then I can love them like I want to.
That a girl. And you will no longer see a problem on earth.
Exactly. Just like you're telling me that they love seeing those ghastly movies. It's all right for me to say they're ghastly. They're ghastly for me. But they love it, and that I can love them for loving. I can love them loving it because they
yes.
love something.
It reflects love back to you. And as we read in 155, you will recognize the love in them, even though they don't understand from where that comes. But it is a creative expression.
So that's just something that just came to me. That's the reason why I can never say to somebody, you're thinking about that wrong.
That's correct.
Boy, that makes me feel good and bad at the same time.
And that's why it's so important that in order for you to correct somebody, they really have to ask you for correction or be in a classroom where the whole idea is learning. To correct somebody who is owning what they're doing and say, I want you to disown and I want you to pick up what I'm saying instead.
That won't work.
It's fighting words, and you're likely to get some dishonesty going on, both from them and from you, pretty quickly.
So in a sense, since we can create, and we're creating, in my case, a body called Luann. Luann could live as long as I want to create her.
Yes, as long as you hold the idea of Luann in mind at a higher level, okay, up the staircase than where you are not the woman and sitting in the chair, it looks in the mirror.
Right.
That level doesn't make Luann continue any more than by feeding her. But you can't make another one. But your mind that is what we call in chapter 27, the dreamer. Can dream Luann over and over and has over and over again. Wow, maybe even improving each one. Maybe making some worse, some lives worse to see how she handles that because love is waiting there too, behind every problem. You bet, Luann. There's no limit. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Well, I just have to say that what you're saying, for me, I find difficult to integrate into my own journey of undoing, atonement, oneness. It seems to me that there's a way in which we, let go. I mean, they say that the dream will disappear when you awaken or when you join God. So
yes,
if it's not real and it's going to disappear, how can it be that valuable, even the individualization?
Are you working your way through a novel currently?
No.
Is there a book? Are you reading anything in your bedstand?
Well, I'm reading Course in Miracles, Gary Renard and Ken Wapnick and Course in Miracles.
Okay, so maybe you're working.
I listen to mysteries. Yeah, I listen to some.
So you're listening to a mystery and you haven't finished it. So at this moment, that mystery isn't even present. The rest of the mystery and how it unfolds, it disappeared. It hasn't even appeared.
Yeah.
And when you turn it off, it disappears. And when you're doing your Gary Renard, that mystery is completely disappeared. You'd have to bring it back to mind to get back into the characters and find out who Aunt May is and what she's doing with a lead pipe and all that will have to be put back together. So this is no different. This is one dream is another dream. Your Jacqueline character, Jack, is not going to awaken ever. She is a character in the dream of separation. So she will remain body, gravity, time, and separate appearing. But Jacqueline, your self what it is who's looking to awaken, that is where the light comes to, and you awaken from being the separate one, and your same mind, the same thread, another eye opens, like it has for you a couple of times. You shared it with us. And your identity shifts from Jackie, the struggling body, to Jacqueline, the non-struggling awareness. There is a little... Yeah, go ahead.
But that's not even... That's not one with God yet. That's just a, that's just getting up to that level. You haven't gotten... You're not one with God again at that level.
Like I was trying to say to Ross, you don't make a journey to be one with God.
Well, I know, but it's circles. It's all circles, but...
Wait. You realize that what's holding Jackie is one with God. What was holding Jackie before you found Course in Miracles is one with God.
Yeah.
You make a journey without distance. Do you see? The dream is ended.
You awaken to it. But I'm just saying this individualization, I don't know. I just can't quite integrate that into what I feel like I'm learning with Course in Miracles. I mean, I'd like to think somehow, I don't know, but.
Let's just, maybe just for the moment, look at the word unlimited.
I had that experience.
Yes, you did.
A meteor went through me and I knew it was impossible to be limited. There was no, I just knew for a second or even less than a second, the impossibility of being limited.
I don't know if I'm going to blow your mind or you already have this thought, but I'm going to say it anyway. In that second where you felt that freedom of unlimited, to you, it seems like a second.
Yeah.
In reality, you touched eternity.
Yeah.
And it may have been, you may have spent 100 years in that moment. May have, because you're out of time, see? You're out of time. You had a timeless, that's what a spiritual awakening is, and a holy instance are, is you step out of time. That's why they're instants and not minutes and hours and weeks.
Yeah, it was totally an instant, less than an instant.
Right?
Yeah.
It felt more real.
It was
hours of worrying about your taxes. You see the weight, the weightiness of the truth, the weightiness, the gravity, give me some better words, impact, the overwhelming absoluteness of the truth as so much more leverage over all the things of the ego. So that instant of saying, I can't be limited, has such an impact. It could last the rest of your life, even if you never think it again at that level. Mm-hmm. You'll say, well, but I know, I remember where I was, exactly where I was on the street corner walking my dog, and this meteor went through me. Forever, you stepped out of time. It is a spiritual awakening. It is touching eternity. And then quickly the waves closed in behind the boat and the wake is gone and all you have is this scant memory. But the impact it left on your mind caused a growth we call, continued awakening or spiritual awakenings that are building a foundation of awareness for you that one day will be such a foundation your identity shifts over. Because the foundation is bigger and stronger in your awakenings than the thing you see in the mirror. It's just more certain. Right now, for most people, the thing in the mirror is the most certain thing and the most comfortable to just rest there. But with your spiritual awakening, the point comes where when you do rest, you rest in awareness. You rest in a non-body identity. It just happens. It's just the truth. And then it takes a little bit of effort to play body to play Andrew and be consistent takes a little effort, more than it did before. It's a gradual, gentle awakening. I suppose there's faster ways to do it too. That happened to all. I've heard stories and read, and, you know, but I think for most people, at least for me, it's kind of a gentle, gradual, and I'm starting to love every step. I'm starting to recognize it every step. Just a little more love, a little more love. It's the same way I eat ice cream. I don't eat a whole bowl of ice cream. I eat just one spoon. I put it back in the freezer, and that was enough. It's a lot of information. Went right past your question, but bring it back, Jacqueline. You keep bringing them back. I love it. Love it. Jason, did you want to say something? Do you remember what you were going to say? Well, I get your mute. Looks like it's a lot of work to get to the computer.
No, I have.
Okay.
Jacqueline had said something, and in her speaking, I heard... I forgot what it was, but I could see in her language what was tripping her up. So what came to mind was, it's kind of a little bit late in the conversation, but, you know, the Buddha was the Buddha when he said, I'm awake. He was still the Buddha, still the leaf, still the tree, but he was awake. And I don't know how that relates to what she was discussing.
Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Thank you, Jason. That helps. Because also, you know, the idea, if you see the Buddha on the road, kill that one. Just kill it. You got to let it go. This is a very, very personal, very, very personal experience. Recognizing that you are a leaf on a tree, that you are an extension of God. Very personal. It will not be done to you. It's so personal that it can't be done to you. That's part of the fun, part of the growth, part of the extension of God. There's no sin. Now, separation is a dream character existence where you are cut off from oneness. That's the definition of separation. Now that is so far from as possible, you can't even reflect love there. You get further and further into separate. The more separate you are, means it's a no relationship, out of complete denial, and into a victim. A victim is something where the power comes from outside and forces that entity to be, live, die, hurt. A victim. That's separation completed. Is the perfect victim. We're going the other way now because it's not working, and we're further from love. The more of a victim you become, the further from love you are. And so for us, we on this call, we are setting Course in Miracles. We are on a spiritual path. The light has come and our heart is starting to warm back up. Our heart had to cool down in order to do the individuation that furthered itself into separation all the way into bodies. The love heart had to be cooled quite a bit so that you could actually be afraid, for example, or guilty, for example, in order to execute separation. And you did it. You did it. You found it wanting, perhaps? I have.
To say the least.
But now that I'm making my return trip and I'm going back up the staircase and things are getting lighter and lighter, the closer I get to the surface, I'm starting to appreciate how much fun this is. I still want to go all the way. I really want to go all the way back to love. And there's a section, there's a beautiful section in chapter 14 that calls light in the dream. What? I thought the dream was completely false. But that section is kind of reprising what I've been saying. It says you must awaken from your complete abject victimhood, lostness. But then, as you awaken, you kind of circle forms with your own mind, see, your own thoughts in the world. And you now start to shine light on the darkness that you still believe exists. And that's part of cleaning up your mind. It doesn't say kill anything or dismiss things that are false, that are, non-loving or hateful or harmful. They disappear in that they lose their strength. They lose their separate power. What do you got, Ross?
Well, just on what you just said is that, it rings true to me, is that as your metaphor is climbing the staircase, as you climb the staircase, it's just like, well, why would I play with that G.I. Joe anymore? I've outgrown that. I don't want to play with that anymore. So it's not that you're giving up the things of the world. It's just that it's just like, no, I'm not going to play with that toy that I played with when I was 2 years old.
Excellent. I remember playing with it, right?
Right. And it was fun back then.
It was
then.
Fun. And if you some of the kid playing with it, you're like, here, take mine. Have fun.
Yeah.
You would not take away that kid's joy playing with the G.I. Joe.
Right.
In fact, that was part of your journey. Perhaps you let the kid do it.
Yeah, so back to the horror movies, same kind of thing. Oh, yeah, I remember when I used to like to watch those. Now they just, not really. Adya said that he doesn't really like movies anymore. So, and that's his journey, of course.
It's
not necessary that you give up movies, but
yeah.
Something that he kind of outgrew. It's like, well, wait a minute. I already got a dream. Why don't I want to go to a theater and have this other dream? Something like that is probably how, he feels about it. But
Yeah,
I remember him saying that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
No, I still love my movies.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, now with the quality of movies that we have, you can kind of live a whole life in 2 hours. There's such high quality. If it's a good movie with good writing and good acting and everything, you can really kind of live extra lives and so it's kind of fun.
Pretend that you're another dream character.
Yeah, what would you do? If you were flying in an airplane and the captain jumped out and there were snakes on the plane too, what would you do?
You know what I really get from so far from tonight is still what I came up with before, that I can love the fact that they love, and then that keeps me from feeling separate from them. Whether
you bet.
I think that they're individuals going on a path, and I get they have their own path, but I don't like it. Whereas if I can say whatever path they're on, whatever they love, they're doing love.
Yes, and then you'll be able to say you don't like it for your character.
Exactly.
But you'll start to like it for their character.
Right.
Just like Ross was saying about the kid playing with G.I. Joe, he remembers loving it for his character. Not anymore, not for his adult character, but for another character who's fascinated with G.I. Joe, not only is it okay, he's kind of fond of it, I hope. He says, man, I used to love that. It's not in me now, but it was then. So I get it how somebody likes G.I. Joe.
But what comes up for me besides that?
There's a sentence in here, it says, you will not forget. He says, as you awaken and your forgiveness completes, you will forgive, but you will not forget, because that would make you not able to help the existing parts of your mind that are still interested in G.I. Joe.
And the other thing is, how do you know that their path to enlightenment, let's say, isn't right through the middle of G.I. Joe or horror movies? That could be a way they might be on a faster path than you. Are you going to judge their path?
No, they might have already done your path.
I do agree that everybody has their own path, and I'm pretty good with that. But separation for me seemed to come from thinking that what they were doing was not love, like I thought of love. And now that I realize from what you're saying that I can look at what they're doing and say they love what they're doing, they think what they're doing is the right thing for them, now I can say, okay, we're not separate, because that's exactly how I view this, what I'm doing. Exactly.
There you go.
I view it.
Even if what they're doing ends in an abject disaster, they're still pursuing their freedom, and behind freedom is love. Love is everywhere. It's actually powering everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So it really makes me feel like now it's possible for me to love everything about everybody.
Beautiful.
I'm not saying I do it yet, but it's possible for me to get there.
As long as you see that that is a path where love is everywhere, you're on your journey. That's our teaching. Okay, page 15 in the Manual for Teachers.
Yay, patience. My absolutely most necessary thing for me to learn.
It's an attribute of love. This is an attribute of love. Of course it is. God, I love it. You know, patience is one of those things, like it's true for all of these things, but patience is transformative. You ever notice, you know, when you're patient, it's calm. You're calm. Things, hey, look, in this world, things got to get done. You got to get places. You got to get before the 5 o'clock and whatever else. Before the deadline. And living in from the ego perspective in a hurry, it's kind of stressful. But when you're really patient with something, oh, isn't that it's transformative. You actually, it's a way of approaching peace.
Well, when you said, I can be patient I want to be patient, because with patience I can be with them as they go through their path without getting upset about it. That hit me strongly.
Patience would be good. Tolerance would be good. Trusting would be good as well. You bet. Ross, when you get there, would you read for us? I got your mute. Will you read for us that whole paragraph?
Patience. Those who are certain of the outcome can afford to wait and wait without anxiety. Patience is natural to the teacher of God. All he sees is certain outcome, at a time perhaps unknown to him as yet, but not in doubt. The time will be as right as is the answer, and this is true for everything that happens now or in the future. The past as well held no mistakes, nothing that did not serve to benefit the world, as well as him to whom it seemed to happen. Perhaps it was not understood at the time. Even so, the teacher of God is willing to reconsider all his past decisions if they are causing pain to anyone. Patience is natural to those who trust. Sure of the ultimate interpretation of all things in time, no outcome already seen or yet to come can cause them fear.
Wow. Ross, would you teach us that last sentence?
What do you mean, try to interpret it?
Yeah, just give me a break and you teach us that last sentence.
So sure of the ultimate interpretation of all things.
That sounds a perfect sentence for you to interpret, Ross. You say it all the time.
So you're gonna understand when you go to the Holy Spirit part of your mind, WH, that part of your mind is wholly, entirely spirit. So that ultimate interpretation of all things in time, because that part of your mind is standing at the end of time, looking back and seeing what outcome there is for it, No outcome already seen or yet to come can cause them fear. Because once you identify with that part of your mind that's already at the end of time, it's a done deal. You're already at one with God, at peace, with patience, generosity, faithfulness, open-mindedness. You're already there, and all you got to do is stop long enough to realize that that's where you already are.
That's it. And even during the horrible things of Hitler or whatever came to your mind as the worst possible things, you were there then also. Because of the ultimate outcome, the ultimate reconciliation of all things in time is actually that there is no time and is a dream of time. It was not a mistake. The horror movie. I was lucky enough to see one horror movie I liked, Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I mean, I couldn't turn away. And, you know, Clarice. Oh, good. You know, but it was just so good. You know, I have to admit that I was so entertained. And the Anthony Hopkins character creeped me out. But I thought this was a great movie. And I had to admit that it was great. Horrible eyes. But the whole time, if you look at the ultimate nature of oneness, and the ultimate nature of the truth is love. The ultimate outcome of everything is reconciliation with love. Not maybe, not some, all, everything, every single aspect. That's why this sentence is so critical, right? It says, it does a roundup, right? It says, all the things in time, which is what you've been concerned with, right? So all of the things in time, no outcome already seen or yet to come. Okay, that's all of them. Can cause them fear. There's right thinking. There's a healed mind. There's the Christ mind, and there's vision. Fear is gone. Now, what's the problem? If there's no fear, how many emotions does the Course say you have? Two. Love and fear. And if fear is gone, what are you left with? Wow. Now, what does it look like? That's why I say Silence of the Lambs. You know, somehow I was able to see through it and just see the artistry of it and thought, wow, it was great. Well, we have to go to my favorite time reference. We have enough time, I think. Yeah, plenty. Turn to page 88.
And
text, page 88. This one's easy to remember. If you ever want to get this reference to infinite patience, just remember that the sign for infinity is an 8 laying on its side, right? So 88 is really infinite. And there's our reference to infinity. To infinite patience is on 88. Jacqueline, when you get there, I get your mute. Got it. Would you read for us paragraph 12?
Okay. I think the paragraph 11 from number 5 on is important.
It is, but it is mostly if for an interaction topic, when we're talking about your brother and interacting in the world. Then when it gets to 12, it gets a little more metaphysical. And we're working on a bigger picture, but you're absolutely right about that in being patient with somebody else. You're absolutely right. And it, of course, the psychotherapist likes paragraph 11, of course. Jacqueline, please go for 12.
Now you must learn that only infinite patience produces immediate effects. This is the way in which time is exchanged for eternity. Infinite patience calls upon infinite love, and by producing results now, it renders time unnecessary. We have repeatedly said that time is a learning device to be abolished when it is no longer useful. The Holy Spirit, who speaks for God in time, also knows that time is meaningless. He reminds you of this in every passing moment of time because it is his special function to return you to eternity and remain to bless your creations there. He is the only blessing you can truly give because he is truly blessed. Because he has been given you freely by God, you must give him as you received him.
Wow. This is raising your mind to the awareness of the holiness and the eternity. That's your true nature. Eternity does not mean a bunch of time. A long, long, long time. That's not eternity. Eternity means there's no time. There's no limit. There's no limit. Jesus describes eternity in this book as there's no time. Timelessness. You'd need a miracle for that, but it comes quite quickly if you let yourself go there. What a rich paragraph. So you've just read this whole section called Time and Eternity. And it is great. Every paragraph here is really good. It kind of talks about karma in paragraph, six, even touches on this concept of, playing with time. It goes around, comes around, all that. There's no karma. There's only a now. And if you think of karma, if you're able to think of karma like it's taught in the East, then you can punish yourself as much as you want and say, well, when I'm good and ready, suffering for what I think I did in the past, then I'll be free. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for the past and the present. You could do that. If you want to play with time that way, sure. There's a quicker way to happiness. A truer way to happiness, I should say. So we're just looking at the metaphysics that's in 12 right now, though, because it has to do with now. Now you must learn that only infinite patience produces immediate effects. That sentence also says that abundant patience does not have immediate effects. Like, I'll be really patient, Ross, with you for about 5 more minutes. Okay, I think you need maybe 1 or 2 minutes. Should be plenty, right? I'll give you 5. I'll be patient for an extra 3 minutes.
That sounds like something I would say.
Yeah, you know what happens? Is I realize that he's going to get it done. By minute 2 or 3, I was generous. Okay. I gave him abundant patience. He said he wanted 2-3 minutes. I gave him 5, but after about a minute or two, I began to relax. I thought he's going to make it. So it did not have immediate effects. It took time, but it got there. Okay. I made a kind of a negotiation with myself in with patience. See, but infinite patience. Oh. Infinite peace. You go right there. It's beautiful. I love that. Now you must learn that only infinite patience produces immediate effects. And you want immediate effects, right? Yeah. Okay, this is the way in which time is exchanged for eternity. It's the way to have a little awakening. And it's a nice tight little circle that goes infinitely small. Just go to eternity. Just pick something really personal that only involves you. If you want to feel this with no guilt and no worry. Like your own, like Jacqueline. Okay. you were thinking about becoming fully aware of God, one with God, and even fully aware where you can rest with all of the assurances and love of completeness of God versus any of the struggle and incompleteness and limit of being in a body. Jackie, how about giving yourself infinite patience around that? You're willing for it to take as long as it takes. How about that as an option? What does that feel like?
Well, it includes trust also.
Oh, yes.
Because we trust yes. that the end is already happened. I mean, that it is always already true. That's where the trust comes
that
in.
That a girl. Yes, so, that is correct.
You know, I think about, because I do have, you know, I would like to experience a lot of the wonderful things that other people say they experience as they feel like they're awakening. So I do want those, you know, so that's the part that's, you know, trying to reach a goal.
Yes.
But there's a lot in there. It says, you know, even if it takes another, you know, 20 lifetimes, 100 lifetimes, it's a done deal. So why not just relax? You know, it's sort of this way of letting go and also continuing to do the workbook and do this and do that, you know. So
that a girl. When Einstein looked deeply into the nature of space and time, it began to curve in on itself. His thoughts were going way out there. And we're describing that here. Time and space turn in on themselves when you go to eternity or till you go to infinity. And the shortcut to eternity and infinity is going into the now. Instead of having this big grand understanding that you're God and being able to see angels or whatever you think it looks like, the shortcut is letting all go, becoming infinitely patient, stepping into eternity now. It goes beyond words, but your experience of, as you know, with any other holy instant, it's quite powerful. Infinite patience. So take that one goal and relax for a moment. You can return after that complete relaxation into eternity with infinite patience. If you don't like how it feels, you can go back. Your misery will be instantly refunded in trying to get there. But try infinite patience just for an instant on whatever it is you're trying to get done. Emily, bring it.
Infinite patience has this quality
of... I'm waiting for her audio to catch up.
Maybe type it in the chat, because we can't hear you. If it's short enough, you could type it in the chat.
Term thing. If I stop the infinite.
She did. Rashi typed it in. All right. She typed it in before she finished saying it. That's really wild trip through time and space. Okay, infinite seems like a long time.
I'm going, and I just, an instant of patience and awareness. Oh, Oh, dear.
Keep typing, Emily.
Okay. Infinite dreams.
Oh, man, my hand up.
This is where we require infinite patience.
Yeah, try it now. All right. Oh, oops. He fell off. Oh, that was really funny. Ah. Okay. This is the way in which time is exchanged for eternity. Infinite patience calls from infinite love, right? Infinite, infinite, infinite. Imagine getting in touch, Jacqueline, with infinite love, but not in a form you recognize, because it will have no form. So you'd have to kind of move your, open your mind into eternity in order to embrace infinite love. And the shortcut is going into the now to do it. We have repeatedly said that that time is a learning device. It's what it is now in the hands of the Holy Spirit with vision. And with your Christ mind, we'll use time. Will we use time now as a learning device handily to care for this bit of mind that you've devoted to separation and bring it back into the fold with atonement? So time is now a learning device, but it'll be abolished when it's no longer useful. The Holy Spirit, who speaks for God in time, also knows that time is meaningless. The Holy Spirit reminds you of this every passing moment of time when you think of the Holy Spirit, right? Then you're reminded. Because it's the Holy Spirit's special function to return you to eternity and then remain to bless your creations there. And that's where you get to keep anything that actually matters. Ross has a fond memory of G.I. Joe. He does not want to actually keep the G.I. Joe or all the accessories, and G.I. Joe had a Jeep, or I don't know, whatever else Ross had with his G.I. Joe set. But the fondness of playing freely with the G.I. Joe is to keep that forever. And with his power, he could create G.I. Joe world if he wanted to. But that wasn't what he actually kept, see? It wasn't what was interesting to him. It was not the plastic doll, but the joy and the freedom and the play and the relationships that were in his mind. The fun and the freedom. Anyway, that's really cool. Do we have any time left? We do. Excellent. Okay, let's go to workbook, page 367. Workbook 367. Which is lesson 193. And
what I'm noticing right now is my idea of forgiveness is changing a little bit.
Good. How?
If we're all in one mind, and I already believe that because I've had so many experiences of it.
Okay, he's so sweet.
I bet he is, and I've never seen your cat before, or your dog, so I don't know what it looks like, Jacqueline.
He's a beautiful dog. Hold up your dog, Jacqueline. Don't starve us here. What a tease. Get your dog.
She won't want me to pick her up. She's 17 yesterday, and she's really, the reason I have to do my video is she doesn't settle down anymore.
Okay.
So she's kind of needy.
Anyway. All right. 17. So, wow, fantastic.
I didn't know I wasn't muted. Okay.
That's okay. I'll try to catch somebody's mute there if I find something going on.
Flip your computer around and let us see him.
He's running around.
Oh, I see. At 17, I mean, she's going to last 3 or 4 more years at least. Anyway, if I look at everything that is happening with love and as if it is love, then what I'm hearing is that that's what I get to keep.
Yes, that's absolutely right. That is part of Christ, seeing Christ's face. Oh, there he is. Very beautiful. Yeah. Fantastic.
She's deaf, so she can't hear you whistle.
Oh, she's deaf. She's earned it. 17.
Whistle if I whistle loud enough. He also knows if I say "ah" loud enough, that means he's supposed to stop whatever he's doing.
But that's right, Luann. You're giving yourself the gift of redefining or reinterpreting things that were ugly or were hateful and seeing the love behind them. And now you get to keep that component. And it's everywhere. Everything is powered by love. When you start opening that third eye, you'll see it's all powered by love. Even the hateful, ugliest things were all powered by love to be more comforted, more peaceful, more engaging, more independent, more free, whatever it was. And in fact, you remember the section we read earlier that the darker you get, the deeper and darker you get to the ego's darkness, the closer you get to the God, the love that is hidden there. That's a quote from this book. You kind of need a miracle to let that happen, but you're starting to put the pieces together tonight. And thank you very much for sharing it with us.
If that does feel like what it is, when I see something that feels really dark to me, if I can find the love in that, then I know I'm really loving everything like I want to.
Atta girl. That's it. Thank you, everybody, for studying A Course in Miracles with me.
Thank you.
It's good work that we do. Thanks for all the interaction tonight. Let's do it again next week.